Willkommen zu Tag 4 unserer Special Dr. Vignesh Vortragsreihe. Das heutige Thema ist, wie du mit Mantren, Meditation und Bewusstsein ein glücklicheres Leben führst. Dr. Vignesh ist Ayurveda-Koryphäe, internationaler Speaker und ein gigantischer Arzt mit dem Sitaram Beach Retreat in Indien, wo ich 2019 war, wo ich diesen Vortrag, den er gehalten hat, live aufgezeichnet habe.
Somewhere, our mind is constantly looking for that need to control things. And there is a saying, how happy you are will constantly depend on how much you are able to make peace with uncertainty. Do you understand this?
Ich bin Dana Schwand mit Da ist Gold drin.
Die Frage ist doch, ist alles eine Frage von Mindset und Bewusstsein? In diesem Vortrag erzählt Vignesh etwas über die Rolle von Mantren, Meditation und Bewusstsein für ein glücklicheres Leben. Ganz, ganz spannend, wie ich finde. Er erzählt, wie Mantren dein Leben verändern können und warum Meditation einen großen Unterschied macht und auch, wann der beste Zeitpunkt ist, um zu meditieren. Wie unser Verstand funktioniert, erzählt er, und mit welcher Ausrichtung wir trotzdem glücklich werden können, trotz dieses wahnsinnigen Verstandes da oben. Er erzählt, was Unsicherheit mit uns macht und wie wir dann damit umgehen können und warum es so wichtig ist, dass wir immer wieder die Perspektive wechseln. Naja, er erzählt auch, wie wir Support und Guidance erhalten und welche Qualität es unserem Leben gibt und was Menschen am Ende ihres Lebens nach seiner Erfahrung am meisten bereuen. Und es ist nicht, was sie nicht getan haben. Also quasi lernst du heute, was die wichtigste Zutat für ein glückliches Leben ist. Ganz kurz noch zu Vignesh. Ich bin wirklich beeindruckt von seiner Arbeit und halte die Fingers crossed, dass ich, weiß ich nicht, dieses Jahr wird es wahrscheinlich nicht, aber in 2023 wieder ins Sitaram Beach Retreat fahren kann. Also wenn du mal wirklich eine Panchakarma-Kur machen willst und die Möglichkeit hast, nach Indien zu fahren, dann fahr da auf jeden Fall hin. Es ist wirklich gigantisch. Genau, alle Links zu ihm, wie immer, verlinken wir zum Sitaram Beach Retreat, zu seiner Mastermind für Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond, natürlich in den Shownotes. Und ein Reminder zum Detoxen. Das ist keine Panchakarma-Kur, aber man kann eben auch zu Hause detoxen. Und das möchte ich mit dir gerne gemeinsam machen, 11. bis 18. März, 49 Tacken. Das Buch Easy Detox mit Ayurveda, also mein neues Buch, ist die Anleitung. Wir machen das zusammen eine Woche lang mit hunderten von Menschen. Ich habe richtig Bock. Also Easy Detox, ichgold.de/easydetox-week. Alle Infos und anmelden. Aber los geht's mit Vignesh.
We will talk about mindfulness, mantras and meditation. How this is changing our energies. By the way, yesterday we had a short description about the word mantra, if you remember. Usually when we say mantra, what do we mean? It is like some kind of a religious chanting, or I'm saying some special words in belonging to some some special religion or something. But if you take the root meaning of the word mantra, it actually means, the word tra literally means to protect. The word man, it's actually the mind. So we can say mantra is something to protect our mind. Sometimes our mind can go in a quicksand, negative thinking. We could also say protecting from our mind, you know. So, we could take both the meanings from this word mantra. Well, do we all agree words have energies? You know, you can make a person happy with the words, you can heal a person with the words, you can also kill a person with words. You know, someone who is extremely emotionally sensitive, after having that conversation, that person had a heart attack. After having that conversation, that man felt liberated. You know, we could hear these kind of things because words have a energy that is being transmitted. There's also a saying, words are spells. Do you understand? Spells means it has a kind of energy that is associated with it. And if you look at all the mantras, you know, before we start the treatments, you all chant a mantra, right? And if you look at most of the mantras that are chanted, there is always Om before we chant the mantra. Have you noticed that? And also, if you go to some yoga classes, they chant Om like 3-4 times. Now, let us understand why we chant Om and what is the significance of Om. You know, it has 3 phonetical sounds. Can you understand that? A, U, and M. And these are phonetical sounds you can say without moving your tongue. You don't need a tongue to say A, U, and M. Now, people must be thinking, should I need a tongue? Do you understand this? So, that is why in yogic sciences and also in ancient Vedic sciences, it is told this is the original sound from which every other phonetical sounds was evolving. Now, let us try to understand. When we chant Ah, where do we feel the energy in our body? We feel it in the stomach, right? So, when we chant Ah, we feel it in the abdominal region, below the sternum. Just below the sternum, you feel the energy in the stomach region. And then when we chant Ooh, where do we feel the energy? Ooh, we feel it in the chest and in the throat region. And when we chant where do we feel the energy? On the head region, right? So, when you chant Om in a strong, sustainable way, like when you take the whole breath and start Om, you are actually bringing that vibration from your stomach, your chest and in your head region. Do you agree with that? Now, let us understand the significance. Our lower stomach and this abdomen, this is considered to be the energy of creativity, the center of creative energy. This is what we call it as the creative energy. And when we say Ooh, this is our chest and the neck throat region. This is the energy that helps us to maintain or sustain, because of which we are able to sustain things, or we can also call it at sustain. And when we chant, this is the area for transformation, to change. I want to keep moving on, changing things. Do you see that? Now, imagine you are running a company or anything that you are doing something. To run a company, you need to create something, right? And it is not enough you just create, you have to maintain it. And it's not also necessary you have to maintain, you have to keep re-innovating it. You know, otherwise you will become like Nokia. You know, a new company will come and it will take over, because they got so stuck with their own product, a new product came and that is out of the market. And only when we have balance in these 3 energies, our life has a harmony. You know, sometimes people are so good at creating, but they are not able to maintain it. Sometimes they are able to create and maintain, but they hold on to that. They are not able to move on. Do you understand this? So, it is very important that we need to have a balance in all the 3. That is when, if you have strength on one of them, maybe that will support you, but the others will keep hurting you. Like some people, they say, I got fired from the job, I'm not able to move on. I had a breakup, I'm not able to move on. So, their ability to transform or to change is slow. So, one of the ways of this chanting mantras, you know what is pacemaker? What does a pacemaker do? When our heart beats, somebody is having a weak heart, when the heart is beat is going low, that person could, you know, it can cost his life, because the blood circulation, if there is no heart, the blood will go down and it will never go back to your head. So, what does the pacemaker do? It reminds, it gives a slight vibration so that the heartbeat comes back, so that the blood pressure is maintained. And the same is with mantras. It is just a pacemaker for our negative thinking to come back up. Now, just to understand, for your common knowledge, in India we have about 3 million gods. 3 million gods means, you know, you have a god for everyone. There is no concept of one god. Whatever was fearing, we made a god out of that. Okay, if you are fearful of lightning, we have a god on lightning. If you are fearful about fire, there was a god on fire. That is why even in Western countries, you have the word God-fearing, right? God-fearing is what something, when I'm not able to control the situation, like we said, our mind is a control fanatic. It always wants to keep things under control. If I'm not able to keep things under control, a person can go mad. So, in order to, whenever we see that things are not under control, we needed to hold on to something. And that is why there is a story about a genie. A man said, I want a genie by which I can accomplish whatever I want. I can manifest whatever I need. Okay, then God said, fine, I'm going to give you a genie. And the genie was granted. But after the genie was granted, terms and conditions apply. You know, the terms and conditions are, if you do not give it a real instruction to manifest or to achieve, there is one big problem. This genie can eat you up. And do you know what that genie is? It's our mind. When we do not give it clear instruction, it will eat you up. You know, it will go haywire. Like they say, ideal mind is a devil's workshop. When we don't have a purpose, when we don't have something to there, it can go haywire. Because our mind, or what we call it as our brain, is designed to look for problems, because its basic purpose is for survival. Because I want to survive, only when I survive, so it keeps looking for potential problems. But today what is happening, most of the potential problems that we see, it has nothing to do with your longevity. It is something of a nervous breakdown, unwanted stuff. So that is why mantras have been one of the most powerful ways of keeping our mind in a more disciplined, energetic levels. Okay, now in Western world, there is also a new way of talking about mantras. They also call it affirmations, or they call it chanting. And you see, you are a result of the words you keep using inside you. Whatever words you use, that is going to be the energy. Just to have your understanding about creativity, sustainability, transformation. Like we said, we have over 3 million gods. But basically, there are three energies that we glorified them into God. And these three energies are the first gods according to the Vedic concepts. Now, when we say creativity, we made a god for creativity called as Brahma. And for sustainability, we have a god called Vishnu. For transformation, we have a god, Shiva. Now we realize it is not enough. We need a partner for all of them. So if you want to be creative, what do you want? You need intelligence, right? You need to be more open to new concepts. Where can I find new concepts that will come? So for that, they realized in order to be creative, you need to be a bit more intelligent. You need wisdom. So we have a goddess for wisdom called as Saraswati. And for, in order to maintain or run something or sustain something, what do you need? You need resources, right? For resources, okay, if you go to some of the American fashionable things, they have portrayed Goddess Lakshmi as Goddess of Wealth. You will see her standing with lots of dollars coming out. Well, the idea of resources, or what we call it as money, or see, you can have all the money, but if you don't have health, it's good for nothing. You can have all the money, you can have all the health, but if you don't have time, again, it's good for nothing. You can have all the money, all the health, all the time, but if you don't have enough friends or people whom you connect with, again, then it's, you feel it is not good for nothing. So you need all the things together. That is why it's called as resources. It is when the resources are there, you are able to convert that. And for transformation, what do you need? If you want to change, what do you need? You need power. Only when you have power, you're able to change things. So that's why for the power, we made a goddess, Shakti. When you chant Om, you are in a way symbolically activating these three energy channels in your body. It is when we have all of this, that's when our life has a harmony. And that harmony is what we all are aspiring for. You know, no matter how rich a person is, there is no guarantee that he is going to be happy. You know? So there is always certain aspects that brings in this happiness. And for that happiness, we need to have a balance in all of this. So that is why there is always a need to chant Om before most of the mantras that we chant. We are not going in detail about every mantra, then that will go away from the scope of this. But I can tell you some of the mantras. You can go and research more about it, how these mantras will help you. It is like going to a pharmacy and you say that, or going to a supplement store. I wish to have more of this vitamin inside me. I wish to have more of this aspect inside me. The same way, when you go and chant, we have mantras for all these energies. And you chant that and you are invoking more of that energy inside you. Does that make sense? No. Now, we spoke about our mind is a control freak. Whenever our mind is not able to control the situation, we will always have a need to go and control an alternative. For some people, this alternative could be smoking. For some people, this alternative could be going and craving for sugar. Because the moment they eat the chocolates, they feel, I'm having energy, I feel safe. For some people, they need to go to the gym or they need to play tennis. Somewhere, our mind is constantly looking for that need to control things. And there is a saying, how happy you are will constantly depend on how much you're able to make peace with uncertainty. Do you understand this? What is uncertainty? Uncertainty is our brain is always trying to keep things safe. The moment we see things are not under safe, we have a feeling, maybe my life is under threat. And that is when people start getting panic attacks. Oh, I'm not able to control the situation. So panic attack is a way of response when we are not acting on the message that is coming to us. And this is a way how we train our thinking. Just like when we say, when a person says, I get sad quite a lot, what that person is saying, I trained myself to be sad. I get angry quite a lot. I'm trained myself so hard to get angry in most of the times. And that is what, when there is an uncertainty, if we are not able to see what we expected, then we could have lots of issues with our hormones inside us. Now, let us try to understand. There is a story about a king who gave up everything and he went to the monk to become enlightened. And he said, Monk, can you teach me how to get enlightened? I have given up everything and whatever you want, I can give you. Just teach me how to get enlightened. And the monk said, oh, you just need to get enlightened. It's so simple. Do whatever you want for the next 3 days, but just never ever think about a green monkey. Do you understand this? He said, don't ever think about a green monkey and come back to me after 3 days. He just couldn't get rid of that green monkey. That green monkey kept coming back after back after back. When they train people to become, motorsports racing cars, you know, how they can become a champion in the racing car. What differentiates a really good racing driver and an average racing driver is, they train them in the simulation. It's like, you know, it's not a real one. They train them in the simulation. And the biggest training that they have to overcome, the hurdle that they have to overcome is when they are about to crash or something is going off. If they look at where the car is going to crash, the possibilities of them becoming a good driver is very less. A good driver, no matter how strong the momentum of the car is going to crash, he will use his reserve energy to look where the car should go. Do you understand this? The more he's able to focus where the car has to go, he will use his resources and energy to turn the direction. Does that make sense? If we are following that pattern, okay, this is where the car is, I am heading there, then the possibilities of going and hitting there is very high. Rather, if we are looking where the car has to go, our ability to change is way better. So that's what this mantras or this repeated thinking, patterns, thoughts, words we speak help in us. And if you see, we all have something called as a primary question in all of us. Do you know what is a primary question? Your brain will always loves to find an answer to the questions, even though the question need not be the truth. But it wants to, you put a question to your brain, it will somehow find an answer to that. For example, when I was a kid, I always had the habit of breaking things. Whenever I get something, I want to open it, see what is inside. I even broke one VCR in all those days, you know, video cassette, and took it out. And then every time I did something like that, my parents would come and say, why do you always end up breaking things? Then when I went to school, I broke something. The teachers would also say, why do you always end up breaking things? So maybe then that started becoming a thought pattern. Why do I always end up breaking things? This became, why do I always keep making mistakes? If something becomes correct, my monkey mind will come back and say, maybe I'm going to break it. I'm not going to continue that. So many people who have this panic attacks or anxieties, they say that I'm scared of being happy because I have a belief the moment I become happy, something terrible is going to happen next. If I laugh, maybe I will have to cry. If things are going smooth, I'm afraid something terrible is going to happen. Do you understand this? There is this thought pattern, there is a belief because they were happy and something bad happened, they started associating completely with that. Now, I asked one of the patients in my consultation room, I want you to count as many red colors as possible in the room. So she started counting all the red colors that she could see, you know, in the nearby. But I said, the person before you could see way more red colors than you. So if you could see more than that, I can give you a gift. Then she started looking more. She started even counting the red street lamps. And even my brown chair became red. Do you understand this? Because what was her question? How can I find more red? Even the brown becomes red. So I see a lot of people coming and asking questions. Sometimes the questions are, oh, why am I never able to handle the situation well? Why am I so unlucky? Sorry. Sometimes I have patients coming and say, oh, I'm looking for that best doctor who can tell me what's wrong with my health. Can you imagine? If that is the question, what are we going to look? Even if things are correct, we will try to see what is wrong there. So sometimes we will ask really embarrassing questions. Why am I always a failure? Why am I so unlucky? Why am I never good at handling money? Why am I never good at handling relationships? Why do I get into the same trouble all the time? Do you understand this? If you are asking such questions, do you know what is the message you are giving to yourself? When you ask a little kid, why are you so ugly? What is the message we are giving to that kid? You are ugly, you know. Even though, no matter what, that question, then he will start bringing the reasons, why am I like that? Maybe it's a bad genes. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe things are bad. Do you understand this? So always we have to be careful with the kind of questions we ask ourselves. So one of the things, if you are asking, why am I so unlucky? What's wrong if we ask, why am I so lucky? Okay, like they say, fake it till you make it. But actually, before you were not unlucky, you just trained yourself to think you are unlucky. It's a habitual pattern. Every time you ask this question, it is like a vote. You are voting yourself to be unlucky. You know what is voting? It's like a democracy. It's not a dictatorship. When you keep voting, you just need a majority, simple majority to win. So if you vote yourself, I am lucky, I am healthy, I am happy, there is a difference. So one of the questions that I read that week, I also practiced myself. If you believe in the word God, or if you believe in the word intelligence, you can replace it with that way. Like, how can I appreciate even more of God's, or you can call it intelligence or universe, whichever words you are more connected with. Can you read that? It says, how can I appreciate even more of God's or intelligence, love, protection and healing in my life now? You can also call it guidance. You can also call it ideas. Do you understand this? Why do we say even more? Like we said, even the brown chair could become red. If you are able to see, I'm not saying try to now look at all the brown as red or try to see things differently. The idea is, even if things don't appear to be the way you want, you know, how many times have we experienced in our pastime, things didn't go the way we expected, but later it turned out to be one of the best things that happened in your life. But at that time, we were so much into stress. But then later we realized, oh, why did I stress so much? See, there was a study done on people who are about to die. In a group of them, they asked, if a time machine was given to most of you, and if you could go back in your life and change something in your life, what would that be? And most of them said, I wish I stressed less. I wish I relaxed more. I wish I enjoyed life more. I wish I was able to connect more with when I was doing instead of worrying about unnecessary things. This was the most important things people regretted. So there is a question, when you are regretting on something or when you are sad about something, we just need to understand, is this something that is going to decide our future? You know, after some time, this is something we're going to laugh about it. See, every moment is so precious. And when we are able to use that intently, that is why mindfulness is becoming such a big industry today, because people are so lost. Like we say, the biggest disease today is anxiety and depression. Mindfulness is the antidote for anxiety and depression today. And what is mindfulness? One of the way is, like we talk about mantras, like we talk about chanting and asking the right questions to yourself. Like, for example, before my question was, now, when I say, how do I practice this? I'll tell you, every morning, till it became a natural pattern inside me, I would write down this question every day and believe like this is my life. You know, every moment of my life is a guidance or a support or a healing that is happening. Because we cannot see everything right now and we want to see everything. That is how our brain is trained. Unless we are not able to see what is going to happen, we can go into a panic mode. So somewhere, we have to surrender to that energy, that I am going in the right guidance, that invisible faith. You know, like that, there is a story. A flight was about to land, but before it was about to land, there was a huge turbulence and everyone in the flight started panicking because the turbulence was so heavy. And then when this heaviness came and everybody was like crying, oh my God, they started chanting, they started doing Japa Mala and every kind of thing. What is going to happen? But there was one gentleman who's on the other side. There was a little girl looking so relaxed and looking out of the window and enjoying the turbulence as if it's a Disneyland adventure. And then after some time, somehow the turbulence got down. They landed. Everything was peace and everyone started clapping the pilot that he made a great job in landing. So this gentleman, after they landed, they asked this little kid, what made you so calm and enjoying this ride when most of us were in a worry? I said, my father is the pilot. And he always told me, I'm going to always take you home. You're always safe with me. You know, it was just that thinking. It was just that belief. And it is the belief inside us that is what is keeping us moving. If we have a belief, I'm always going to have health issues. I'm always going to have issues with my relationships or with finance. You see, we will always try to look for reasons to make our beliefs correct. And belief is a trained pattern. And the more the kind of questions you ask like this, this will help you to change. Like, for example, one of my experiences where I felt I could have gone into a panic mode. Once I was in Munich giving consultations to patients. And in the evening, I have a lecture in the Munich and I was in the outskirts of Munich. So, and I had to give one last consultation, which was not as per the plan because it was very important and she came for the consultation. And that consultation, it was also about panic. And then we helped her. And then she came in a electronic, you know, the electric car of BMW. Then I thought, I never traveled in a BMW electric car. Maybe I would like to go that. And I was enjoying that car, which has no noise, as if there is nothing. And I was looking at the Alps and enjoying that. Oh, this is fantastic. I never traveled in a car which never made any noise. And after some time, it started raining heavily. And then we got into the highway in Germany where you are not supposed to stop the car. You know, everybody has to go in their full throttle speed. And suddenly, the patient who was driving the car said, I don't know, it is showing E, like the battery is showing E. I hope it won't be a problem. I thought, no, come on, it's BMW. It wouldn't be a problem. And we are in... Everything could be of a no problem. And then it started raining even heavily and it stopped right in the highway. And that patient, if I was in there, would have died of panic attack. Because she started thinking, because of her, I'm going to miss my lecture when people are waiting for me. So I was like, well, how do we handle this situation? We always look for a solution. Okay, either you could kill yourself with that anxiety, what can I do here? Or you can look for... So these are conditions where such questions will help you. And this is not like when that happens, when you ask this question, it will help. It is like when you program your muscles and train your muscles, when a hardship happens, you can use it. This is not something when you do it when something goes wrong. This is something you do it when things are going correct. So when a hardship like this happens, that's when you can use it. Okay, how the situation was handled, I called the studio where the people were waiting. How many people are waiting? There were about 60 people waiting. And it looks like when we called the customer care to bring the replacement, it was like an auto share car. You know, you can go and share the car. And they started putting on music to listen. And when the first time I heard so many people honking in a German Autobahn. Okay, for me in India, it's normal. I never panicked when people honked. But she started panicking and then many Polish drivers started coming and pushing the car, but the car will not move because it's an electric car. You are stuck and you create a whole traffic jam. And then later he said, do we have Uber here? There is no Uber. Then there is something called as My Taxi. You download that there and you get a taxi. The taxi comes like a Schumacher. You get in that car and I go. And after 45 minutes, that car was lifted. And then later she said, that was the biggest lesson in her life where she learned everything is figure outable in life. You know, and I was thinking, I was on one hand in my background, it was saying, why did I take this patient in the last? I could have just gone and be safe and did that thing. But on the other hand, taking that was a life-changing experience because there can be no better experience than this, you know, for someone who has a history of panic attacks. And because of that, many other hives would form on the skin. So, no, what I'm saying is, we change the perspective with the way we have our beliefs. For example, there's a story of a father. He was a drug addict. So whenever he gets into high, he would go and physically abuse women in that society. And what happened? One day, a girl got pregnant. And she gave birth to twins. And both these twins grew up. One of them became just like the father, who is a drug addict and who would go and do socially criminal activities. The other twin became a police officer. He would go on and stop people from doing things like what happened to his brother and his father. One day, the first boy who grew up to be a drug addict, he went to the jail. And one man went and asked him, "Why did you become like this?" And his reply was, "Because of my father." The same gentleman goes and asks the second boy, who was a police officer, "Why did you become like this?" Do you know what his reply was? "Because of my father." Do you see the difference? Same astrological signs, same horoscopes, maybe a matter of 5-10 minutes. Same mother, same father, same society, but two different completely outcomes. See, every experience will give you, whether you are happy or sad, it's about the meaning that you give to it. When we say meaning, if we say this happened because I am bad, then you can be sad. See, the word for happiness in Sanskrit is quite interesting. The word for happiness in Sanskrit is santosha. This has a beautiful etymology. Now, this has two phonetical, two words join and a new word is formed. The word sum actually means complete. Tosha, we can interpret it into two ways. Either it is acceptance or surrender. Can you relate why they call this as happiness? See, this is the word for happiness or being happy. When you are able to accept the reality, that is when you are happy. When you are fighting it, that is when we have unhappiness. But I'm not saying, okay, you have to accept whatever bad is happening to you. Like if you read the books of Eckhart Tolle, you know, who wrote the book Power of Now, he has a beautiful statement where he says, accept every experience as you chose it. So when you understand this is an experience I chose, there is something that is teaching me, this is coming in the pathway of guiding me and evolving me, what happens? We stop fighting it. We stop giving a fight unwantedly. And what is this sadness? Sadness is my expectations are not met. Maybe it is not met in your conditions. That doesn't mean it's the end of the world. And the idea is, when we are able to foresee, just because things are not working out the way you want to be, doesn't mean things are not working out well. And this is not positive thinking. We are just trying to, just like we use logic to think negative, we are same way using logic to understand the reality. And we are so conditioned to look at why things are going wrong. You know, what's wrong? Just be mindful about the questions we are asking. That will have a huge impact on how we are seeing things outside. Now, some of the mantras I recommend. Now, some people say, is it important for me to know the meaning of the mantras? Of course, if you know the meaning, you are able to connect it well. Otherwise, there are lots of energetic vibrations that you have, that happens inside you when you chant. When you say some words, there is an energetic shift that happens in your body. So some of the mantras, there is a mantra called as Gayatri Mantra. An extremely powerful mantra. It is about invoking the energy of sun god or the sun. Because it is because of the sun, we see all the things changing. The four seasons are happening, the rains are coming, the plants are growing, the vitamin C that many of us are deficient in, it is coming. It is just invoking and telling, if the sun could change things, let that energy be inside me so I can also change and transform my life. No matter how dark it is, the sun will still rise up. No, it is just a way of conditioning us. Even if things are not looking correct, things can change. And this is one of the mantras that is told. And also there are even simple mantras about, there is another mantra called Mrityunjaya Mantra. The word Mrityunjaya means victory over mortality. Mrityu means mortality. Jaya means victory. Whenever we feel something is going to perish, I'm going to die, or there is a fear of insecurity, things are not being happening the way it expects. This chanting of this mantra is like giving you that pacemaker. You know, maybe we could see, instead of going in that quicksand thinking, things are coming to an end, you bring yourself out of that thoughts. See, when your energy is good, no matter how big the problem is, you will find ways to be creative, to find solutions. When your energy is low, even a small problem could appear big. Does that make sense? And that is where mindfulness and meditation comes into practice. Just like we say, doing yoga or exercise or going to gym is the way our muscles are being trained. Same way, meditation and mindfulness is the way we train our emotions and our thought patterns. It is thought patterns are a habit that we form. And when we chant that, when we focus ourselves in a meditation of 10 minutes or 15 minutes every day, this makes a huge difference, especially if you can do that first thing in the morning and the last thing in the night. Now, if you have any such thought patterns, please do tell me. We could make a guided meditation with that particular problem to come out of that. It's a matter of 5 to 6 minutes. We could record it in your phone. And listening to that, you change that. You know, when you keep repeating yourself something, that becomes a part of you. And that's how powerful our thought patterns can be. Any questions?
How does karma come into it?
Karma? The next days we will have a talk on the concept of dharma and karma, so you will understand what it means. Now, because if we go into that, in order to make it explainable, I need more time for that. Okay. Bon appetit. Thank you.
Das, liebe Leute, war die Anleitung zum Glücklichsein von Dr. Vignesh. Ich hoffe, du konntest ganz viel mitnehmen und freust dich schon auf alles, was noch kommt. Morgen ist nämlich Tag 5 und da geht es um das Thema Dharma, also Berufung, und was dein Karma damit zu tun hat und was das genau ist. Und der letzte Tag wird dann sein Dinacharya, was Ayurveda uns empfiehlt, täglich für unsere Gesundheit zu tun. Also, richtig cool, richtig cool, kann ich nur sagen. Also sei auf jeden Fall morgen wieder mit dabei. Ich würde mich riesig freuen. Pass gut auf dich auf, deine Dana.